We're going to check in next with a climatologist here in the United States. Stephen Schneider has been following the Kyoto Protocol from his post at Stanford University, and he's on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been several years since this protocol was signed. Have circumstances changed in some countries since they signed it in the 1990s?
Yeah, I think that you could say that in the United States, the circumstance changed radically as the administration switched from one that was supportive of an international effort to try to control emissions to one that's fairly hostile, at least at the federal level. And ironically, while the U.S., for example, has opposed federal action, we have 150 cities and half a dozen states that have climate proposals and that have actual real action plans, and quite a number of companies. So we've been having a lot of action from the bottom up while we've been having a lot of opposition from the top down.
Does that mean that this protocol will affect the United States in some way, even though the United States is not part of it?
Well, it'll affect the United States in a number of ways. Of course, we have multinational corporations which have offices in countries that have targets, so they'll be involved. We also will be involved in products that have carbon embedded in them, so that will affect us. And there's another way we'll be involved that's more negative, which is the U.S., remember, the world's largest economy and the world's largest emitter of greenhouse gases, walking out of the process that we helped design and substituting nothing has not earned us a lot of friends in the international arena, nor made them sympathetic to other things the U.S. would like them to do with us.
Now, we've had a report this morning from China, which essentially doesn't have to do anything different at this moment, and neither do India or Brazil or other trading partners of the United States, which was one of the complaints that Americans made about this agreement, that the United States would be at a disadvantage. Does this agreement really have that much effect, given that so many countries don't have to do anything initially?
Well, Kyoto was never designed by anybody to be the solution to global warming. The solution involves cutting these greenhouse gases that you get from burning coal and oil and gas and deforestation by about 50% or more by mid-century and then getting down to very low amounts by the end of the century. Kyoto is like any long journey. It's the first few steps.
Does this agreement, as it is ratified, provide some motivation for developing countries to cut back on pollution because there aren't restrictions on what they put out right now?
Kyoto does provide a motivation for developing countries in two ways. First of all, there's a so-called clean development mechanism whereby the rich countries can actually go in and do projects in developing countries like China or India that would reduce emissions relative to what otherwise would have happened. And then the rich country who pays for it gets credit. Meanwhile, the developing country ends up with a cleaner system and with a more efficient system over time.
Can this agreement work given that the United States is not part of it?
Kyoto is the first step in probably a 10 to 20 year long process. The U.S. is temporarily out of it, but ironically, I don't think it's the environmentalists in the U.S. that's going to push us into it. I think it's the business community. Because when we eventually join the protocol or the next version of it, say 5 to 10 years from now, the Europeans and the Japanese will have bought out the cheapest opportunities to cut greenhouse gases. And U.S. industries are quite concerned about that.
Bought out the cheapest opportunities because people are going to be buying and selling the right to pollute.
Well, it's much more expensive, for example, to cut an existing, say, coal-burning power plant in Indiana that has 20 years worth of useful lifetime than it is to go build the Indians in New Delhi a new one out of gas to replace the coal because labor and materials are so much cheaper there. That's the trading mechanism that Kyoto has, and we're actually left out of it because we're not in the protocol. Therefore, we can't get the so-called low-hanging fruit, the cheapest available options. So I suspect that industry is going to start balking about this fairly soon.
Mr. Schneider, thanks very much.
Well, thank you very much, Steve.
Stephen Schneider is a climatologist at Stanford University.